Good morning to all of you tuned in this morning. I'm Catherine Davis, and this program is called Heart of Mind Radio. And we come to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. And we offer you different things to contemplate, as well as offer you very often interviews and inspiration and information on how to get along in the world, how to make this transformative process that we are all engaged in as we move forward in our current period of evolution, humanity's evolution. One of the things that is very relevant to the evolutionary process is also the idea of disclosure. What is disclosure, really? It's simply coming to a realization of certain truths and uncovering information that has heretofore been hidden from us. The true history of our cultures, of humanity, and of life on the planet. And I am currently engaged in a very in-depth research project on these issues. And I wanted to present them to you today because I am looking for your participation and assistance for those of you who might be interested in this project. Now, there are two ways to look at this, what I'm looking at. And the project is looking into the truth of Aboriginal America, and that includes fact, fiction, history, and legend. And so I'm really looking into the history that has been subsumed by, I would say, colonial powers, and by a culture that was driven, really, from even older civilizations in Europe, and they had a significant impact on what became the United States of America, what became the three continents of America, Canada, North America, South America, the United States, and South America. And when we look deeper into the history of what happened here in the forming of our current national pictures of the various countries. And there are many countries in this region of the world. We begin to look at a Holocaust, really, a Holocaust of the many peoples who were here in this continent before the colonial times. And as I've explored some of the archaeological documents and books that were written throughout the last 200 years, at least, some quite older, I can really see how our world that we're living in right now has been shaped by what became, what came before it. And there's a way in which we have a tendency to rely upon our Constitution, at least here in the United States, as the ultimate document of what this country represents. But in truth, the Constitution, as it was created by the so-called Founding Fathers, was flawed. And it was flawed in that it allowed for a separation of peoples. So the Constitution, in its original formation, was really intended for only a segment of society. And my research, really, and my concern is what happened to the remainder of the New World as it was characterized by its explorers and conquerors. But in truth, what I'm discovering is that America was indeed an old world. It was a world as ancient as what we might term the Egyptian civilization, probably even more older. And so when I look back at all this, it really makes me question what happened and what has happened to people of color in this nation. And many of you might wonder, well, why is that relevant to me? And on two counts, I would say that it's relevant to those people who are of color, who identify as blacks or African Americans, who identify as Mexican or South Americans, who identify as immigrants from other nations of color, in that the Constitution, in many ways, is not protecting the rights of people of color. And by virtue of the way that this is being done in such a massive way, that it also affects, to a great degree, the rights of all people. That includes European Americans and people who might identify themselves as being, rather than colored, being white. I actually believe that all people have color, in that most people, no matter the nation or heritage, have a hue, have a color. All human beings have a degree of melanin within their physical structures, and really that is the basic construct of being able to be human and surviving on this planet. So we're all part of one family. But we have a history that has created differences and legislated differences and created a legal structure that codifies those differences and allows a certain level of privilege for some and definitely permits the constriction or restriction of liberties for others. And while it's easy to think that all of these problems have been eradicated, we can see clearly that they have not been. And I see that really most vividly in the violence that is perpetrated between state structures, state policing, state governments, and peoples of color throughout this nation. And it has left me to wonder why it is that there never seems to be an outcome that seems just, in that there is ever really a significant prosecution or significant policies or significant laws that protect the rights of people of color in this country, especially the United States. But it's a global phenomenon. And I've come to realize that a lot of this was created by the founding structures of this continent and the so-called discovery of the continent of America. And one of the things about this that has been most influential in my thinking was when I came to learn what discovery really means. Now, when I was going to school, probably when all of you were going to school, we learned about Christopher Columbus and how he discovered America. And there were many explorers before and after, but it was all put forth as if these explorers sailed across the ocean and discovered for the first time that there was land, and in that discovery, that's how we came to be here in America. But discovery is not, as we might think, the finding of something or the like discovering a formula or discovering a continent that we thought didn't exist. In truth, the Europeans of that time, 1500s, 1400s, knew very well that the continent of America was here because there had been travel across continents for centuries of time. So they were full aware that the continent of America existed. But what they were asserting through the discovery was ownership. And so I'm going to share with you a document that was, it's called the Cabotian Discovery. And this is a part of a series. It's published from the Royal Society of Canada in 1897 to 98. And it's under English History, Literature, and Archaeology by John Boyd Thatcher. And I find that this is, I had heard about this, but I went out to actually do the research to see what I could find and see for myself. And so this is a document that was communicated and read in 1807 by Dr. Bournot, and it is referring to the Cabotian discovery. So this is what it says. A people may acquire territory by discovery, by conquest, by purchase. Title of discovery is said to be original. Title by conquest or by purchase is said to be derivative. In the law of nations, the title of discovery confers sovereignty. It recognizes the warrant to extinguish the rights of native occupants by conquest or by purchase. Sovereignty, which is shared, cannot be real sovereignty. To be real, it must be exclusive. Whenever, in the progress of civilization, new conditions have been introduced, the nations have almost immediately formulated some principle to govern those conditions and their consequences. The principle has been announced and accepted before consequences could bring dispute or disaster. In the nation itself, among the individuals, disputes or disasters have preceded laws. But in the family of nations, certain new and unfamiliar conditions have suggested the possibility of certain effects or events to guard against which laws, written or unwritten, have been proposed and allowed. With the discovery of the New World, this principle was established. It is true that before the middle of the 15th century, two popes had authorized Spain to send expeditions westward and Portugal to make discoveries to the southward. And it is true that Alexander VI in 1493 drew a line from north to south, 100 leagues west of the Azores, and subsequently increased by treaty to 370 leagues west of the Cape Verde Islands, to give to Spain whatsoever lands she might discover west of that line. But it is also true that in after time, Spain presented as her strongest title to new territory the abstract fact of prior discovery and not the authority of the papal bull. Discoveries have generally been made by expeditions sailing under the directions and authority of some European nation. And the first ceremonious act of the discoverer has been to plant upon the strange shore the standard of his country. Thus, Columbus, immediately upon landing on Watling Island, unfurled the royal banner of Spain and took possession for the king and queen. A discovery made by a private person in the prosecution of a private enterprise would bestow sovereignty on the nation to which he held fealty. That discovery would exclude any other individual or any other nation from the possession of that territory. After a land had once been seen by a discoverer, whether voyaging for his king or for himself, whether equipped with a royal warrant or sailing upon his own adventure, it is manifest that it can no longer be, changing pages, discoverable. Its title is forever preempted and will be sustained by the law of nations. Title by discovery is so strong that it is not necessarily abrogated by failure to occupy and colonize. An unoccupied island may be seized by an expedition and be held until a standard or monument is found, or until some other proof of prior discovery is presented. And then, according to the usage of nations, possession must be given to the discoverer. So what is this saying? This is basically explaining the doctrines by which the American territories were seized and claimed by the European powers. On the acquisition of territory in America, the principle was declared that discovery by a European or civilized nation extinguished the rights of the native and heathen occupants of that territory. Spain, Portugal, England, France, Holland, each heartily accepted this principle. Now, this is the part that's really important. The United States, as holder of derivative titles from these nations, claims exclusive power to extinguish the right of occupancy possessed by the Indians. If it were to be held that the right of occupancy conferred upon the Indians the right to sell their property, then the tribes still living could convey their title to lands in New York and other states to Great Britain, the latter being a civilized state, which an active and competent government could then proceed to introduce its laws, customs, and practices into such lands in New York and other states as it might acquire from the Indians. We at once see the absurdity of arguing that any absolute, complete, or exclusive right to territory can reside in the Indians. The exclusive right to the territory within its borders belongs to the United States today, just as it belonged to Spain and England and France when they discovered it. After another principle adopted by the nations was that the title of the discoverer should not be confined to the exact spot or place visited, but might be extended to contiguous territory. The discovery of a part of an island covered a claim to the whole island. No one would have disputed the claim of Spain to the whole island of Cuba, although it was not circumnavigated until after the death of Columbus. The discovery of the mouth of a river generally covered with a vested interest the region watered by it, even to its source, and often including its affluent. Finally, the principle was adopted that the discovery of a specific domain upon the east coast of North America should give title to a continuous territory running westward to the Pacific Ocean. These principles were adopted in council and applied in war. In the treaty made at Paris in the year 1763, and which terminated a long and bitter war, England's claim to territory westward from the Atlantic coast was limited to the middle of the Mississippi River. The claim of England was original title by discovery long prior to French occupation. The claim of France was discovery of a limited coast, strengthened by explorations and settlements. France ceded to England Acadia and all Canada. England ceded to France all her possessions from the Mississippi to the Pacific coast. Each nation parted with something it believed it owned, and each nation received something from a hand which it regarded as entitled to affix the seal of conveyance. We have thus endeavored to sketch the significance of discovery as affecting the title of the discoverer to territory in the New World. Mere curiosity or antiquarian interest would not justify me in preparing or you in listening to a lecture of the first English westward voyages. So it goes on to talk about more about this history of discovery. And so why is this important? These documents that were created in the days before the founding of the United States of America, or all of the continents before they achieved their independence from their European powers. Actually, this document was 1897. Is that powerful phrase in which the ownership and the power of discovery was therefore transferred into the United States of America. Of course, referring to this continent in which we live, this nation in which we live. So the United States of America, which at the time of these documents was quite small, you're talking about the colonies, you're talking about a time when the American government was centered around the state of New York. So based upon these documents, this discovery, these doctrine of discovery, was the purpose, the legal documents that allowed for the colonizers and now the new governing structure of the United States to continue westward, to continue to claim lands, and to continue to disrupt and displace the indigenous Aboriginal people of this land. And in that process, these people were, several things occurred. They were uprooted from their land, and they were massacred in very, very large numbers. Some of them massacred by war, others killed through the introduction of disease. Many were enslaved. Some were forced into plantations. Some were forced into reservations. And so it was a systematic uprooting and upheaval of the Aboriginal indigenous people of the Americas. But it's all based on this Kabatian discovery, the original precept for claiming land. So the discovery of land is not, oh, look what I found. I found a body of land. No, discovery means the claiming of, the removal of the rights of the indigenous people of that land based on these laws. And one of the reasons that I am emphasizing that these laws were never changed, but were rather transferred to the American system, to the system and the government of the United States. So when the Constitution was promulgated, these laws of discovery, the Kabatian discovery, were underlying that. When we look at the Supreme Court and the decisions that it continues to make with regard to people of color, when we see governmental structures, when we see enforcement structures continue to take the right of determining the land, who owns the land, who doesn't own the land, who has a right to the land and its resources. And this discovery, this Kabatian discovery, comes from it grows out of the same philosophy that was the Crusades, that created the Crusades throughout Europe and the Crusades throughout America, that makes a certain claim. A lot of these laws are connected to the papacy, the papal bulls, the decrees of the popes throughout the ages, claiming sovereignty only is due to the so-called Christianized European nations. And I am suggesting that these laws are still in effect in the world in which we live today, and it is the underlying reason why people of color and people of class, I would say, because it's not just color, it's also economic class. And it's also racial beyond the substructures of who has brown skin and who has white skin, but it's based on certain clanhoods and certain family lines. And so it's been very refined, and everyone is impacted by it, even though we might not think so. We might think that we are enjoying a privilege of race and color, but our whole civilization has been undermined by this structure. And I believe in order to reach full disclosure and to bring full, total freedom to all beings, we really have to look at how our Constitution and how our laws are structured and why it is that they continue to privilege the few and undermine the many. So we're going to speak a little bit more about this project when we come back in a moment, but first we're going to take a station break and hear some announcements.
¶¶
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program, and I come to you on Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Now, Heart of Mind Radio is primarily a program about consciousness, spirituality, and health. And I believe that it's very, very important for us to begin to look at the structures that created the world in which we live. Right now, we're living in a world in which there is a tremendous amount of violence, a tremendous amount of hatred, a tremendous amount of fear and distrust. And we have a leadership in place and certainly working towards in the United States becoming elected into the leadership structure that are contributing to a continuance of what we've seen thus far. And I believe that the only real solution to this problem is for those of us who have a open mind and a calm heart to begin to really look at this and to not be fearful or fall into states of anger or guilt over the actions and the activities of our past, no matter what culture we come from, no matter what race we identify with. The idea is to really look at what this is all about and what this power structure, what is it really based on, and what have been the consequences, and what do we have to begin to do in order to unravel this information so that everyone can equally stand firm in their own sovereignty and in their our own rights as beings, as human beings, as having the right will, the will and the potential to take our civilization forward. We will not be able to move forward in our civilization under these old rules. And so the first step, I believe, is to really explore and to say, okay, enough is enough is enough. It's time for us to acknowledge what's been done, to see it, to acknowledge it, and to begin to look into our current systems to see how much they are still being controlled by these issues that went into the founding, to the so-called discovery, but really the claiming of this continent, and how those basic tenets are still working in our current civilization. And so I'm working on this research project, and its purpose, of course, has a lot to do with restoring the true history, restoring sovereign rights to all people, and beginning to reclaim the globe, the continent, the world, the environment for the people. And it's very interesting that those of us who identify with a particular race, I identify as a Black American or an Indigenous American with African ancestry, with European ancestry. I happen to be a person who, over the generations of time, have had mixed racial influences. I believe that all people, to some degree, have mixed racial influences. So in that sense, we're really all in the same boat. And I think it's time for us to stop looking at each other based on a construct that has been created for us for the purpose of creating division between different stereotypes within humanity. It's time for us as through human beings to stand up and say, we're not going to participate in this, and we're not going to allow it to continue. And so I'm inviting those of you who are interested in this project to most definitely connect with me. I have researched a lot of documents. I have dozens of PDF documents, some from the Library of Congress, some that have been out of print for long periods of time and have been digitized by Gutenberg Library, Google Library. But these are documents, books that have been written 100, 200, 250, 300 years ago, 400 years ago. And when we look at these older documents, we begin to see what the thinking was in the time period. And we can begin to trace the threads into our current time and see where information, light has to be brought, shined on these issues. And we can also see how to begin to transform some of the laws as well as some of the inequities of the Constitution so that we can have a truly egalitarian, equal society between peoples. And we can begin to acknowledge and give credit to those peoples who in ancient times had great wisdom in the world. And part of my research is showing how true history has been suppressed, but also legacies have been stolen, and certain truths and certain wisdom and power that is indigenous to human beings, to being indigenous, to divinity, have been usurped and replaced with lies, and that's largely been propagated by many of the churches. The one that stands out to me the most is, of course, the Christian and the Catholic Church, but they are by no means the only institution, religious institution, that has worked towards the control of humanity. And what I see when the Christian religion, in the hands of the Pope, promulgated certain rights over humanity, assuming the sovereignty over the individual. And then came the Protestant Reformation, which on first glance looks like they are fighting for the sovereign rights of individuals, but in fact that's not the case. The Protestant Reformation is wrestling out of the hands of the church these doctrines and pulling it into the hands of the state. So rather than the Pope being the perpetrator of rights, sovereignty in the hands of the Pope, it becomes the autocracy, the kings and the that have taken those rights of sovereignty from the people. And then from the kings in transferring into governments, like in the founding of the United States, the United States, the Constitution, looks as if it is fighting again for the individual sovereign right, but that's not what occurred. What occurred is the right of kings was wrestled away from the autocracy and transferred into the governmental structures, the Constitution, the presidents, the governors, the senators, and so they then became the holders of these doctrines of sovereignty. And at no point as of yet in history, modern history, has these sovereign rights been transferred to the individual, not legally. Our legal structure still is based on these ancient documents. And you can see this when the Supreme Court goes into sequester themselves to consider a case. What do? They look at the historical documents, they look at the precedent, they look at the cases that came before, which means they have access to every document, every case that preceded. So if in the darkness of the Supreme Court deliberations, they decide to go back to the Kabbatian discovery, or if they decide to go back to a document that was created in the Supreme Court in the 1800s with regard to slavery or the removing the sovereignty of free colored people, then they can use that in the secrecy of their decision making, and then come back and say, well, actually, this police department has right of sovereignty over that individual. So we are not going to prosecute that police department. We're going to liberate the person who perpetrated that act of killing, shooting, strangling, beating another person. And this person doesn't earn justice because they're not a sovereign being in this nation. And so it's my assertion that these laws are still in effect, and it has a lot to do with why there's still so much violence and discrimination perpetrated against people of color indigenous to this land. Now, there are a different set of laws to immigrants to this land than there are to indigenous people of this land. So I think that this is a very important process to sort through these documents and begin to really trace some of these laws and some of these this information that is still being used, but also to really begin to recognize just who are the indigenous, the aboriginal peoples of this country. And this is something that is absolutely critical, because while there was slavery and there was the importation of African so-called people from the continent of Africa to be slaves in this country, there were also many people here in this country who became slaves. And what happened is there was an intermingling of the aboriginal indigenous people of the nation with certainly some European settlers, certainly with some African who were brought in as slaves. And all of these people in the 1800s were considered to be colored people. And so it's a very broad spectrum of who are the inheritors in terms of blood and history and connection to the land, and who controls these lands. There's a very distinct difference. I found an interesting document as well, and this is something that was created. It's an abstract, and it's called Eugenics, Race, Integrity, and the 20th Century Assault on Virginia's Indians. And this was presented at the annual meeting of the Organization of American Historians in Louisville, Kentucky in 1991. And it says, descriptors, American Indians, racial attitudes, racial discrimination, racial relations, segregationist organizations, social discrimination, state history, and eugenics, Virginia. The paper documents efforts made by some Virginians in the first half of the 20th century to promote and maintain racial separation. In the early 1920s, the Anglo-Saxon Clubs of America were founded in Virginia, and the leaders of this group successfully persuaded the state legislature to pass in 1924 the Race Integrity Act. The act created two racial groups in Virginia, white and colored. Anyone who could not prove himself or herself white was classified as colored for the purpose of birth records, marriage, licenses, school attendance, and death certificates. Much of this paper focus on Virginia's first registrar of vital statistics Walter Pleaker and his campaign to preserve the integrity of the white race, which he perceived to be threatened. Under the Race Integrity Act, there was no valid means of determining racial status. So Pleaker had the opportunity to make subjective decisions about the rights of people to marry, to designate the race of their own children on birth certificates, and to claim a racial heritage of their own choosing. Pleaker devoted a great deal of time and energy to discounting the claims of Virginia's Indian people to their heritage. The legislative, bureaucratic, and judicial means Pleaker and others sought to use these efforts are recounted. And so this is what this document is actually about: eugenics, race, integrity, and the 20th century assault on Virginia's Indians. Now, this is just one of many documents in which I have found record of the fact that indigenous people, indigenous to the continent of America, were designated as a separate class of citizen by a movement of certainly white supremacy. But you have to understand that it's a supremacy that is not based on humanity. It's a supremacy that I don't consider to be ubiquitous among white society and people of European descent. This is a very specific movement that was created in the founding of this country, in which we were bridging a time when there were Aboriginal, Indigenous, African people, as well as people from other less desirable European continents, such as Ireland and Wales and Scotland, and other countries that were not considered to be the supreme countries, were being rolled into this category of colored so that there could be a distinguishing of their heritage from the heritage of the supremacists of the day. And then what did they do? There came into law a declaration behind all of this, or in the same time period, that the indigenous people of this continent were no longer to be considered American. So there are all of these laws. There's this history of law in which it was codified, the disenfranchisement of people of color in this nation. And we're talking about the continent of America, different laws, slight differences from Canada through United States, through Mexico, through South America. But these laws existed and they came into being, and they are still the laws of the land under which people continue to be subjugated, under which Aboriginal people still continue to be killed and have been impacted through acts of genocide, and through which a separation of consciousness continues to prevail. So I'm bringing this forward because I just feel that this is something. It's part of the disclosure. It's part of coming to understand who we really are in this continent of America, in the globe. And as we go forward with this project, we're going to be looking more on who these Aboriginal indigenous people really are, what they really looked like, what their cultures really stemmed from, what is the history and the legacy of these cultures, what is the similarities between Mesoamerican archaeology and Egyptian Kemetan archaeology, what is the threads that tie through, what are the threads that make the difference, where does this ancient wisdom come from that was in many ways taken and usurped by the Greeks, the Romans, and the subsequent age of Europeans that came through in dominating those very people from whom they took and learned and received their wisdom from the ancient peoples of this world, from the globe. So if we look at modern archaeology, if we look at modern history, it claims that humanity goes back 10,000 years, maybe a little more. It doesn't acknowledge the ancient civilization that predated our current learned knowledge. because the current history that we get, have learned in school, doesn't acknowledge the wisdom that came before it, doesn't acknowledge that that wisdom was the foundation of knowledge that came to be what we know as our current civilization. Unfortunately, some of the most powerful tenets of the ancient civilizations were twisted and usurped and used to empower the conquerors. So they would build their capitals on top of an ancient mound, for instance. They built their churches along the ley lines set by the ancients. So there's a strange history that has not been made known to our modern civilization. And I think, as a point of disclosure, as a point of recapturing sovereign rights for every human being, and as a point of moving forward into a fullness of evolution, that this information needs to be explored and shared and understood. So if you would like to engage with me in these projects, I invite you to do that. And you can do that by connecting with me and working with me on this project. I've created a flash drive with dozens of PDF documents published from ancient times until modern times, including the life and voyages of Americus Vespucius. And he actually discovered the New World, the Kabatian discovery, the document I read from, colonization of free colored people, eugenics, race, and integrity. So there's just many documents that are actually written during the time that these efforts are being actually promulgated on the earth. So if you're interested in receiving these documents and working with me in this research project, I invite you to connect with me to do that. You can do that by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or by telephone, 347-480-1694, 347-480-1694. And what I am proposing is to take extracts from the document. There are a lot of photographs. There are a lot of archaeological, actual sites and translations of ancient tongues and translation of glyphs, and really put together a documentary that really shows the origins of civilization, or at least gives forward a positive theory of the origins of civilization, and carries forth into the destruction of that wisdom into the current colonial society in which we live. Now, the colonial society in which we live is a little bit underhanded. We don't see all the rules in play. We can see that it's mostly perpetrated through structures of finance and money and debt to enslave people, but it's really knowledge that needs to come to the fore, so please be in touch on those counts. And for those of you who would like to connect with me on another level, I'm teaching a class in Qigong on Saturdays at 2 p.m. You can connect with me as well if you're interested in studying some of those ancient technologies and learning how to heal and restore your body and your life. Do the same number, 347-480-1694, or by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Stay tuned for more great programming here over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine, and this has been Heart of Mind Radio.